Hello again, folks. This is Lyndon Davis with yet another segment in our Debt Domino series. This time, we'll be looking at debt handling the wrong way. Yes, the wrong way of handling debt. You see, debt can be tricky. It can be a real tricky thing to manage. It can be easy to get into debt, but it can be much, much harder to get out of it. There are many wrong ways to handle debt, and these can make it even harder to get out of it. In this session, we will discuss some of the wrong ways to handle debt. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, Lyndon, we are all familiar with wrong ways of handling debt. Why don't you just get on over to the right ways of handling debt? Good thing that you asked. We actually have a segment on the right ways to handle debt in our Debt Domino series, and you'll be well pleased by going over to that segment and checking it out. But the reason why we're bringing up the wrong ways is because quite often when people engage in wrong behavior, it becomes like part of them, you know, it becomes like second nature. They don't even recognize anymore that what they're doing is actually either unproductive, wrong, or something that should be avoided. You know, that snapping of gum, you know, that's so irritating to everyone else. People just snap, snap, snap as they chew the gum. And they really don't even recognize that they're snapping the gum. Until someone says, do you really have to do that? And it's a similar thing when it comes to wrong ways of handling debt. People have been using it as a coping mechanism for so long, it's just like second nature. And I want to make sure that we point out for those to whom it applies that this is not the way to handle debt. So we will cover topics such as stealing, hits, runs, errors, and making minimum payments. Let's start with stealing. And I'm sure many of you have already noticed the analogy to baseball there. Let's start with stealing. What is debt stealing? Well, debt stealing is where you look to creative ways of putting off paying on your bills, which leads you to extraordinary gimmicks to avoid paying the piper. You know where that phrase comes from, to pay the piper? It actually comes from the fable of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. According to the myth, a piper was hired to clear out the rats from the village of Hamelin. After he did so by playing a song and luring them away, he was not paid for his work. His revenge for the lack of payment was to steal, you see the word, steal all the town's children. The moral of the story was to pay the piper and keep up your half of the bargain, lest you lose what is important to you. So debt stealing is the idea that you will rob Peter to pay Paul. But the question that one must confront then becomes, isn't robbing Peter to pay Paul like using MasterCard to pay Visa? Well, that's exactly what some people do. They take a cash advance from their MasterCard to use as a minimum payment on their Visa bill. Then when the Visa bill comes due, you guessed it, they take a cash advance from the Visa to pay the MasterCard, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Well, if you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, you are engaging in debt stealing. Those who steal aren't free, but they are locked up in a dungeon of debt, a prison of penury, the slammer of scarcity, the gulag of groveling. You get the picture. There are other ways to engage in debt stealing, and some of those include borrowing from friends or family, using payday loans, engaging in Ponzi schemes. Each of these have their own unique way of enslaving you in bondage and totally messing up relationships. So folks, let's stop debt stealing. Debt stealing is not the way to handle debt. Now we're on to the hits. So by hits, we certainly don't mean there's a swing hit deep to right. That ball is going back. It's going. That ball is. No, folks. No. We're not talking about those hits. What I mean is head in the sand. Hits. This is just a fancy way of saying that people choose to ignore their debt obligations rather than owning up to them. It's just that hit sounds a little bit more catchy, don't you think? Now check out these examples. Do any of them remind you of someone or something in the past? You get a letter from First National Credit of Hometown USA. It immediately is tossed into a pile of letters from First, Second, Third, and Fourth National Credit of Hometown USA. Or worse yet, you use that letter to try out your new fireplace set or your deluxe multifunction shredder. Not opening or responding to debt collection letters will not make the debt go away, and it will only make the situation worse. As much as you have gumption and willpower to ignore the debt, debt collectors have the same resolve to try to collect from you. They have a major advantage over you, and that is they have the law on their side, and they may take legal action. How about this one? You get a call from First National Credit of Hometown USA. It is immediately rejected or coded as spam, just like you did with the other calls from First, Second, Third, and Fourth National Credit of Hometown USA. This is kind of similar to what you did with the letters, but it's just a different mode. The same thing can be said about texts or emails. Now, you do open the letters, you read the mail, you respond to the text, and you answer the phone. But you don't make payments of any kind on your debt. This will also not make the debt go away. In fact, it will only make the debt grow larger as you will continue to accrue interest. One of the worst things that you can do when you're in debt is to ignore it. This is because your debt will continue to grow and you will eventually be overwhelmed by it. The common thread of importance here is that your creditor may choose to take legal action against you to recover the debt if you continue to ignore it or them. This will put you in a far worse position than if you take your head out of the sand, take a whiff of reality, and deal with your obligation. But alas, I'm getting hits. I'm getting numbers of hits. I'm getting hits all over the place. I can at least pretend for another day. I can put and keep my head in the sand. Now, we've just looked at stealing and hits. We will continue the analogy on the wrong way to handle debts, but first, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8 says, "Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for winter." Folks, they're talking about the ant. They're saying, look at the ant. No, not Aunt Jemima, not Aunt Jemima or Aunt Tilly. Talking about an actual ant. You know, that six or eight-legged thing, how many of her legs it has? Look at that ant and see how it goes about its business. And take note, because that's perhaps what you need to be doing as you take stock of your finances and take stock of your life. So again, we're back to it. We've taken a look at hits, and we've also taken a look at stealing. Now, next in our baseball analogy is runs. Debt can be a heavy burden, don't you think? Yeah, shake your head up and down, just like I'm doing. Yes, debt can be a heavy burden, and it can be tempting to try to outrun it. Huh? Outrun my debt? What do you mean? Well, this is a futile effort trying to outrun your debts. In fact, trying to outrun debt can often make the situation worse. There are many ways that people try to outrun their debts. Now, some common methods include making changes in their lives. Did you get that? They are going to make changes in their lives to try to outrun their debts. And one of those changes, here it comes, they change their phone number. Now you knew it was coming. They change their phone number. Getting calls in the middle of an important job interview or business meeting? How about you're on that first date and you're looking to impress that special someone, but your phone keeps blowing up? Or you're talking to your mama and the call waiting beep comes through on top of the other four call waiting beeps that have been trying to come through. They all happen to be your creditors. In these cases, some feel that the best way to handle the situation is just to get a new number. But of course, once you go in to get that new number at the cell phone shop, the sales agent convinces you that you also need, a new phone. So what do? You whip out that credit card to get the new phone, to get the new number, and all the while you didn't realize that you just acquired new debt in efforts to try to outrun your present debts. How smart is that? So that's one change that people make as they try to outrun their debt. Another change in their lives that they make is they change their address. In order to get away from the debt collector, whether it be the tax man or the repo man, some people go through the extraordinary measure of changing their residence rather than facing up to their debts. I actually had some rental property at one time, and it turned out, as it does in many cases, not all, but in many, that the person that I had in there, he was a deadbeat. How do I know he's a deadbeat? At one time, he was about 4 months behind on his rent. I started to take legal action, and lo and behold, he became current on his rent. But as the laws of the land typically would have it, once a person becomes current on their rent, you can't kick them out. You got to let them continue to stay according to the contractual obligation. So after he caught up on those 4 months, you guessed it, he went back again into arrears. But this time he was smart. He knew he was coming to the end of his lease. And sure enough, at the end of his lease, he left, and he left without taking his possessions. So I had to go through and sort through all that stuff. And sure enough, among all of the things that I found were other bills that he was being a deadbeat on. So what it told me, two things. I'm not the only one, not that that made me feel any better, but it told me perhaps the reason why he came into my unit in the first place and then subsequently left was he too was trying to outrun his debts by changing his address. I mean, folks, think, all that stuff that he left that he'll never get back, some things were actually in great shape. And then the fact of having to disrupt your life and your family just to say that you just don't have it to pay what you owe. Yeah, to me, it's better to make the change in your life to be more responsible and accountable than to make a change such as changing your address. But there you have it, changing their phone number, changing their address. Is there another change to their life that can be made? Yes, sir. That change is they change their jobs. Changing their jobs, trying to outrun debts. See, this one is uniquely disturbing. The people who tend to employ this method of trying to outrun their debt, they are typically those that are looking to escape the clutches of the law. You know, they are typically those that have a tax or marital or child obligation that they are not paying on, and for whatever the reason, they are looking to escape the responsibility. This is particularly disturbing, to me at least, because in the case of the marital and child obligation, it is not some huge monstrosity or manipulative profiteering or bureaucratic behemoth, but it's actual flesh and blood persons that are relying on what you are not paying. It is a type of sordid selfishness if you think about it. I mean, just consider, what if that job that they are working and they are running from in order to get to another job, what if that job decided that they would not pay when you expected it? I mean, stop and consider that. You are not paying on your child support, on your marital obligations, on your taxes, and there are people depending upon you paying, And here it is, you are relying on somebody paying you at the time and the amount that you expect. But it is nothing to you to say, oh, I will just skip out on what I owe, but I am going to cling tooth and nail to what I am owed. You know, Jesus actually told a parable about this in the Bible of someone who had owed a large debt, let's call it $10,000, and he begged for mercy. And the creditor said to him, you know what? All right, I'm going to have mercy. You can go. And then that same guy that owed the $10,000, again, that's just my term for it, that same guy goes and finds a guy that owed him $10 and strangled him, the Bible said, and abused him, and then would not let him go until he paid the entire $10 and did not once stop to consider, someone just gave you leniency. How is it that you, and for way more, $10,000, let's call it, and you are now, again, scratching and clawing tooth and nail for $10? Oh my, what is up with that? And some people who employ this change of jobs are doing exactly the same thing. They want to get paid, but they will not pay what they owe. So there are those that won't look beyond their own subsistence to engage in that simple mental exercise of thinking about where they would be if they were treated the way they are treating those that they're not paying their obligation to. They change their job to run from their debt. So folks, we've gone over stealing, hits, and runs. Now, if you remember the baseball analogy, tell me what's left. Yes, sir, it's errors. What is the errors in debt handling? Well, certainly what we have gone over with stealing, hits, and runs count as erroneous ways of handling debt. There's no doubt about that. But to keep the analogy fresh, I want to introduce the actual errors, true errors, that people engage in to mishandle debt. That is, when your name is, let's say, Mike, and a debt collector calls you on your number, instead of you ignoring the call or answering the call and still not paying your debt, you do answer the call and simply state, you got the wrong number. Who you looking for? Mike? Well, you're not the first person to call here looking for Mike. This is Mike's old number. My name is Mitch. They made an error. They called the wrong number. What's another error that's employed in this hits, runs, stealing, and errors? Well, this time it's not a call, but a letter. What do you do with that letter? No, it does not go to the shredder or to the fire pit. It does not get tossed in a pile with your other junk mail. No, in this case, you tell the mailman, return to sender, or you write on the envelope, wrong address, and drop it off at the post office. Return to sender. Wasn't there a song about that sometime in the past? Yeah. It's like you slap that label right on that envelope. Return to sender. You got the wrong address. You've made an error. You sent your correspondence to the wrong place. Those are two errors. What's a third error that's activated? Well, we've looked at the wrong number and the wrong address. What do you think's left? Well, this time they outsmarted you. Or did they? They did not take the chance of calling you on the wrong number, nor did they send the letter in the futility of having it returned to them with the wrong address stamped on the envelope. This time, the repo man pulls up to your driveway looking to tow away that unpaid-for vehicle, and when they knock on the door, you answer and say, it wasn't me. You got the wrong person. What an error! They're staring you in the face, and you've got the gall to say, it wasn't me. You got the wrong person. Talk about errors. Hits, runs, errors, stealing. these are not the right ways. In fact, I'm going to straight up say these are the wrong ways to handle debt. Now, as we've gone through some of these examples, did anyone out there listening identify something that they've seen in the past or an experience that they personally have had in the past with any one of these? Do you know someone who's actually going through this kind of experience right now? Well, by virtue of you listening to this program, have them to understand, or if it's you, get the understanding that these methods are not the right ways of handling your debt. It only makes matters worse. And in the case of running away from your debt by changing your job, you're engaging in some real dirty stuff there. Because you know that the reason you're changing your job is because you don't want that child support man to catch up to you and garnish your wages, or that alimony thing, or paying back Medicaid or whatever it might be for care that you received or somebody else received that's in your family. You know that this is what's going on. You count on that job to bring you money, but you won't pay what you owe. Folks, these are bad ways. And I'm not saying that you are a bad person. Don't get us wrong here. We're not casting aspersions on anyone to say that you are bad if you've engaged in these habits. What we are saying is that they are bad habits. Plain and simple, they're bad habits, and you need to change. So as the parable I just mentioned about the person that owed so much and got mercy and then tried to exact retribution on someone that owed him so little, think about where you stand in your handling of your debt. Now, we're going to go over one last item in the wrong ways to handle debt, and that is making minimum payments. You know, I talk more, a little bit more, actually more in a different way about this in another segment of the Debt Domino series. The name of the person there is the minimum payment patsy. And again, this is not casting aspersions or name calling. It's just a funny, cutesy way of keeping in mind the wrong things that people engage in as they deal with this business of debt. So making minimum payments. Now, you know, this might be a misnomer as an honorable mention. And I call it an honorable mention because it's not really handling the debt, so to speak. But it is kind of the wrong way to deal with it nonetheless. And that is making minimum payments. So, you know, this seems like one of the easiest things on the planet to do. If the statement comes in and says that I owe $5, I'll just pay $5. I mean, that's simple enough, right? Real easy, right? But folks, it's not the best way to get out of debt. You see, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure most of you listening do know this already, but this is for those who don't know, or for those who may have forgotten or have adopted the mindset by making minimum payments, I have more money for other things. Making minimum payments will mostly pay the interest on your debts, and it will take you years and years before you actually pay off the debt. That's why for a bill as small as, say, $1,000, I mean, that might be large for some others, but let's just call it small for example purposes. For a bill as small as $1,000, it may take you upwards of 12 to 15 years to pay that thing off entirely if you subscribe to the minimum payment plan. And that's not great, folks. It's not wrong because you are making payments. I mean, you are actually making payments, but it deserves mention here as a wrong way because it's not the best way to pay off your debts, nor is it the right way to pay off your debt. So as you look to, if you're in a debt situation, as you look to paying on your debts, we're going to say don't get caught in that minimum payment plan. It's going to take you an extraordinarily long time to get out of your debt, and all the while, you're just not doing yourself any favors for your financial positioning. So the conclusion here, folks, today is this. If you are struggling with debt, it's important to avoid the wrong ways to handle it. The aforementioned methods will not only not solve anything, but it will make your debt worse and thus make it even harder to get out of debt. If you're serious about getting out of debt, there are many, many resources available to help you. This series, this Debt Domino series, is but one of the ways that you can employ to help you manage, get out, and stay out of debt. There are others. So avail yourself of those methods. Talk to a financial advisor, a credit counselor, a bankruptcy lawyer if need be. They can help you create a plan to get out of debt and to build a better financial future. So now I'm going to give you some additional tips as we're concluding and we're wrapping up here. These are additional tips for avoiding the wrong ways, again, the wrong ways to handle debt. And that is, be honest with yourself about your financial situation. This means knowing how much debt that you have and what your interest rates are and how much you can afford to pay each month. Folks, if you don't know what you have, how can you even begin to start saying, I'm going to pay on it? You must be honest. Know where you stand, both with your debts as well as your financial situation, your income, your savings, and all that. Create a budget and stick to it. There we go again. I keep telling you, you're going to hear about budget over and over and over again. Indispensable tool. Create a budget and stick to it. This will help you track your spending and make sure that you are not overspending. Pay off your credit cards in full each month. I know we're into the wrong ways of handling debt, and I'm just giving some tips here. And you might be saying to yourself, dude, I'm not even remotely close to being able to pay on my current balance. Now you're going to tell me to pay off whatever it is that I charge every month? Well, you got to start somewhere, folks. You got to start somewhere. And this is a helpful tip in getting you started. Pay it off every month. It's best if you don't even use the credit cards to make purchases. But if you do, and you want to find ways to get out and stay out of debt, pay that balance every month. You'll avoid interest and potentially some other fees. And how about this one? Just don't borrow money. I mean, simply put, just don't do it. If you can avoid borrowing money, you'll be way better off in the long run than if you try to satisfy that immediate urge, that impulse gratification, you know, that I gotta have it now. You'll find yourself way better off than making that purchase with money that you don't have for something that you truly cannot afford. Folks, getting out of debt is a challenge, but it is possible. By following these tips, you can avoid the wrong ways to handle debt and get on the road to financial freedom. In other segments of our Debt Domino series, we will go into more detail on budgeting and getting out and staying out of debt. But I want to leave you with these two things as a reminder. When it comes to debt, you ought to remember that first, the Bible says to avoid all types of personal debt, no matter what clever terms are used to describe it. This is due to the master-servant bondage nature that is inherent to debt, as Proverbs 22:7 tells us. The second thing to remember is that if you feel compelled to take on debt, let it be the debt of love, as Romans 13, verse 8 instructs us. Folks, that's all for now. This is Lyndon Davis with yet another segment in our Debt Domino series on the wrong ways of handling debt. Take care. We'll see you next time, and God bless.